Tadheart Unplugged, welcome. We're so grateful to have Sides here speaking with us. I think that it is so amazing, everything that you've done, building your platform. I think that it's really easy to get discouraged sometimes in music and wanting to be able to make a living from it and to create these revenue streams for yourself so that you can be a working creative. You have to be just creative sometimes. And I would just love to even just start with your journey of how you came into the tech side of audio, because I know from seeing some of your stuff online, you started in GV and wedding bands just like I did.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it was COVID, essentially. Like, really diving deeper into, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So
yeah,
I had gun for a minute, a long minute. Okay. All right, how do I be the boss? So I'm building a show for cruise ships. Again, people that know the space, I was trying to get into like guest entertaining. So building, they have shows that go on these ships that are a higher tier of just what's happening, like in the normal space there.
Right.
So
yeah,
like a guest entertainer, it pays more, work less, and you get more like things. You get more features. You basically just be a guest.
Yeah.
So I was really, really investing a lot of time and money into building that for 2 years. Mm. Building a pro group, which I eventually wanted to build kind of a production company. I spent so much time and money. And our first gig was May 2020, which, as you know, we did not sail on the high seas in May 2020. No. So everything for me was back to zero, and I felt so incredibly defeated. I had turned 30. I was completely unemployed, no gigs, lost my entire sense of identity, and just at a low point. So I'm just not one of those people that accept defeat. You know, I'm kind of like one of those like things at the gym, like you get punched and then you just like bounce back. Like that.
Yeah.
So I was home and I got an ad to learn how to produce in 30 days. And I was like, this is stupid. I've went to Berkeley. I didn't learn how to produce. How am I?
You went to Berkeley too?
I went to Berkeley. Did you go to Berkeley?
I went to Berkeley too. How did I? Okay. This is so random. Okay. We're very similar. Sorry. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, so basically I took this online, this Facebook ad popped up. I was like, this is so dumb. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to pay for this. But then I clicked on it and it had a sale for like $75. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Let me just do it. Became instantly obsessed. The thing that was like the turning point for me was learning how to program drums. I genuinely thought like music, being a music producer was the equivalent to rocket science. Only a few elite brains can wrap their head around this. And I was, and then once I learned it, like, it's so much easier. It's not easier. It's more accessible than you think, right? You still have to like, but the path is clear.
Yeah.
So I just got really interested in it and then started again posting on TikTok, like in tandem. Mm-hmm. And I got also really, really interested in social media and social media marketing. I had already had like a sales background.
Right.
Part-time hustles. So I already knew I was like sales. So anyways, the combination of all three, like the trifecta of having skills and just being a singer and then also learning marketing and finally having a product that I could deliver.
Yeah, totally.
The missing link for me. And this is why I'm so passionate about teaching all of these things, because there's a lot more opportunity that meets the eye. And I'm sure maybe you can relate. I don't know. And Berkeley has gotten a lot better over the last 10 years since I've left. But when you leave Berkeley, you have like, at least I did, when I left Berkeley, I should speak for myself. I really felt like, what the F am I going to do? Like, how am I going to, you spend all this money, time, energy, and you have literally no direction. And I don't feel like there's very many careers that feel that way. Yeah. Like, you graduate to be a doctor, you're like, okay.
Exactly. You know your next step.
You know your next step. It's not as, it wasn't as clear at these schools, because these schools don't teach marketing and they don't teach sales. And they should, because it's literally 2/3 of the pie.
Absolutely.
It's the bare minimum. That's the entry point.
Exactly. Yeah, because I didn't get it either. It like I literally just started my whole like social media thing like a year ago this month because I was sick of I was like, okay, I have to get over myself. Like I always thought, oh, I want my work to speak for itself, but if no one's seeing your work, or even because we're behind the scenes, right? So it's like no one's seeing what I'm doing. So it's like you have to be that advocate for yourself and be audacious to do these things.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of audacity I've always kind of had, but I've even acquired over the last couple of years has skyrocketed. And that's, yeah, I mean, that's, I think I talk about this all the time. Like, I'm just a regular schmegular person. I'm not like more talented than anybody here watching this or anybody watching my videos or anything. I just put in the work, and the work extends
Dude.
beyond music, right? It's
Dude,
also
absolutely, it
the
does.
marketing and also the sale. And if you guys can prioritize those areas as much as the musicianship, then you can get there. And so many people are like, well, I don't want to do that. And that's the answer, right? You don't want
And
to do
that's the barrier to entry. And that's okay, right? Like, if you don't want to do yoga, that's fine. Like, I have so many, a lot of my mentees now, like, the first thing that I'm saying to them is this piece. It's like, okay, you have to start building your brand now because we, as artists, entrepreneurs, just as an entrepreneur in general, you have to build your brand. And I get it, though. Like, I get not wanting to do those things. It's a whole other job, you know? Like,
So
but.
I love this question that I think from your team asked, how do you balance both the marketing business sales part with your artistry? And I've been thinking about this a lot. So I'm actually trying to like come up with a whole thing to help people, but I split my day in like the four M's. So it's mindset, because mindset is actually the top of the chain, right? Because if you don't have your health, you have nothing. So mindset, which is where I do my workouts, which is where I go on my walk, which is where I'm always learning something new, where I'm still having social engagements, like that's, I always have to have an aspect of my day to that. The second is music. No matter what, I always have to devote some time to making something new, working on something I'm doing, and I'm building like a live. I'm a very goal-oriented person, so it helps me to have like things I'm working towards. So I'm building a live stream show where a performance, so I need a bunch of
So
people for
amazing.
that. So that's the second M of the day. So that's part of the third part of the day. The third M is marketing, right? So that's where I'm social media, where I'm responding to DMs, where I'm coming up with concepts, where I'm making content, all of that, that's marketing. And then the fourth part of my day is money, right? So that's where I'm clients, responding to emails, all that. You split up your day in like four equal sections of mindset, music, marketing, money. You can tackle
Dude.
all three. And if you get in that habit consistently, you will grow exponentially. And that, if one
Wow.
if I focus on one of those areas more than the others, I suffer always. It
Dude,
has to
yes.
all four. That's my
That is
mentality.
so inspiring. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write this. I mean, I'm recording this, so but oh my goodness, it's so funny because it's something that I think we all struggle with. And I was talking to a colleague recently about feeling unbalanced all the time. And they're like, okay, but it's more of a rhythm. You're always going to be doing one thing more than the other. But I think that when my mindset gets down is when I feel like I'm doing too much of the catch up of the, I want to work on the stuff that I'm passionate about, the stuff that's going to bring me growth, but my day ends up being taken away by meetings and things and blah, blah, blah. And so the way that you describe that is so eloquent and
You
so
can
beautiful.
spend at least 90 minutes in each of those areas. So if you spend at least 90 minutes in one area, but you end up doing like the money part or a couple more areas, you'll still feel creative in the money part or the music part or the mind. So I make sure I spend at least 90 minutes in each of those areas a day. And then obviously different days will require more of the music or more of, depending on deadlines or whatever you're working on. But that's really
My
the thing
goodness.
I try to get into. So it's 90 minutes of each of the four M's, and you won't believe, even if you just do that, even if you just do that and you just kind of like play video games for the rest of the day, I wouldn't do, but like if you do, you won't even, you'll be a different person in a year if you commit to that.
Dude, you're so cool. Like, that is so Brilliant. Because I think that, yeah, we're always trying to do everything. I talked to my team about this and about okay, how it's, there's a lot of power in saying no to things too. And I'm reading this new book on boundaries and the boundaries that we set for ourselves. It's like with ourselves too. Like I know XYZ is bad for me. I won't do this thing. I know XYZ is good for my mindset. I will do this thing. But it's the, like we were speaking before we hopped on too. It's like, the power of no is really big as well, because you need to be able to have those 90 minutes per thing. And I think 90 minutes feels so digestible. It doesn't, I think like for me, it's a lot of, I feel like it's all or nothing sometimes. I'm like, you know,
building good habits. And, you know, for me, like it has to be like, I really believe I've been like night and day with the 4 M's. I'm going to post about it today too. Cause
you need to, yeah.
Something that people just like need to know.
Yeah, that is immensely helpful.
This format, and like we are our own bosses now, and we have to give ourselves these tough conversations, and mm-hmm. these habit building stacks is what's going to change your life, change your career, and just make you a happier person.
Yeah, and I think that including mindset, the mental health piece into that as a thing that you need to make sure that you're making time for is, I think, the most important part of that whole thing.
And mm-hmm. like, look at, and this is so sad, obviously RIP, but Steve Jobs, right? Like he had everything in the world except for his health. Yeah. So he has nothing.
Right.
I mean, horrible, but your health, it has to be number one. And I didn't really realize that until I wasn't feeling good. So 2 summers ago, I was doing all the work stuff because I was like, oh, who cares, my health will be there.
Right.
And I had like pins and needles on like the whole side of my body for like 3 months. I was so miserable. My skin was breaking out that I was actually meeting one of my friends that's a health coach. And she was just like, Rena, if you don't have your health, who cares about your fitness? Who cares if you have a million, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares if you win a grant?
Yeah.
Who cares of anything?
Literally.
If you don't have your health. So that is always my number one. That's how I always start my day. I do my morning pages. I love doing my morning pages.
That's great. I was just talking to my friend Gina about that. Yeah.
The first thing I do, it's the best. Then I go to my workout. I make sure I get 10,000 steps in my day, and I just try to eat as healthy as feasibly possible.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Because our gut is also so tied to our mental health, like our gut health. Yeah.
And I also just like personally hate being sick. I'm an extreme anxiety and hypochondria. So if I wake up with like a bite, I'm like, oh my God, I just got bit by a poisonous spider and I'm going to die tomorrow. So,
okay. So you're like, how do I not do that?
Sick. I hate doctors. I hate the whole US healthcare. We don't even need to go down there.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. But it's so real though, because our body, like this, like, I mean, we're getting crunchy right now, but I'm down. I'm very crunchy. So, like this, the whole thing of like the body keeps the score. There was a point in my career where I was exactly what you were saying. I was so just career. I would forget to eat. My stress level was crazy high and I was achieving. So on the outside, it looks like cool, right? But then I was fainting randomly. I would pass out, be alone in my apartment, pass out on the ground. And like, I would get these, I would have to go to the hospital for whatever. And then I just changed the things in my life that were, I had to like really take a step back and be like, okay, these things, even though they're bringing me success, are not good for my mental health. I have to readdress. And so we can't be our best selves. Like we can't serve anyone else or create from our best place or like whatever, if we're not right. With ourselves, like mentally. So this is great. Yeah. Also, I want to know, okay, there's people, please also ask questions. Feel free to ask questions in here. But what did you study at Berkeley?
I studied vocal performance.
Okay. Got it. I'm going to send a bar with you after asking Berkeley. That's so interesting. You should totally, did I mute myself? Okay. I did the thing where I touched my AirPod and I hate when I do that. I was there from 2011 to 2015.
Okay, so we were there at the same time.
No way.
I was there from 2008 to some of it. Wait, you were there when did you start?
2011 to 2015.
Oh, no.
I was just kidding.
You were there after me.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there from 2008 until 2011, basically.
Okay. Yeah. So we might have. Yeah.
But do you do vocal performance?
No, I just was a vocal principal, and I was music business first because I thought that if I wanted to do music, I was a singer forever, right? That was my thing. I gigged for 14 years of my life. But I thought if I wanted a career in music, I had to do music business or be a music teacher. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a music teacher, so I guess I'll go work for a label. And I wanted to be able to protect artists in the way that I wasn't, like, protected. You know, and there were a lot of times for me growing up, it was like, you make these things and you're managed by XYZ people.
Or you were on all those.
I was on X Factor for like a little bit. And then I was just like, and X Factor was a big turning point for me because that's when I realized I need to learn how to make the music. I need to learn the tech side of music because I can't make the music I want to if I don't. Because I had just been in so many rooms with so many men that just like, I didn't know how to communicate what I didn't like about things. I just knew that it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like me. And before that, in M-Tech, like in our class at Berkeley, that was like our little technology class, my friend did my projects. I was afraid of GarageBand. Like you know?
So boring. Like they made it so boring, which is why this is why I try to teach as much as I can in like a fun
team.
Like what I learned in like a whole semester at one of the classes at Berkeley, I could make a 30-second video on. I kid you not. I'm sorry, but like they need a refresh, and maybe they have.
Yeah, and they have been they've been refreshing, and like I've gone back and done like quite a few master classes, which is great. And I found my
there, which has been
amazing. Yeah, and I think that like as they continue to do things like that and to refresh, it's so important because like the music industry has changed so much, and it's ever changing. Like even right now, like with AI, right? Like what is creating music going to be like in 5 years? What are jobs going to look like? I don't know if vocal production is still going to be a thing. I hope that it is, but I need to make sure that I'm evolving with it instead of fighting it. Yeah.
100%.
Are there questions also? Wait, I think there. We got a thingy in the thing. I don't know if you see it.
It
says, how did you start to make clients comfortable with you vocal producing them? I'll pass it really quick, but I'm sure that you have the same experience when you're working with clients, any kind of clients in the studio. It's like that quick kind of thing you have to do. It's like where you have to be the blank slate a little bit and like just be really empathetic and just open. And if your mindset is not right, like to what you were speaking about, you can't do that. So like my vibe is clean because I work on myself, you know?
Yeah.
So like I can go in and like be the cheerleader and be like genuinely excited about the thing that we're making because I'm doing that. But last takes a lot of work. Yeah.
I love watching the videos of you in the studio and how you talk to people. There's some people that you're like, I would follow them into the fire. And you're one of those people. You know what I mean? But you kind of do. Like you create that leadership that is like the trusting kind of leadership. So
thank you.
I mean, I'm sure everyone tells you how great you are, but
thank you so much. No, that is so kind. And the same thing with you. Like I'm just in awe of everything that you're doing, your logic course that you released. So awesome. And making this accessible, because exactly what you say, it's that barrier to entry. We think that's too complicated for me, I'm not even going to try, but it's really not like when you break it down. And I just think you're so so cool.
Thank you. Okay, someone said as a question, since you guys are both great teachers, what are you guys' recommendations for folks that want to learn production or even music business who can't go to school for it? Mm-hmm. So I don't think you should. I'm kind of anti-institutions for like a few reasons. One, because a lot of them are corrupt without naming any specific names. And you can, like all the stuff I learned on my own. And you can learn everything on your own. There's so many resources that are free or like very affordable, much more affordable than a university. So please don't feel like you need to go to university to learn music production or music business. There's so many resources online, so many courses. I would look in a bunch of courses from a bunch of different people you've trust. You know, I've taken a bunch. I continue to take and learn and read different books. I've learned a lot about like marketing and mindset and all of this stuff just from continuously learning. And that's why I really, part of that little mindset bubble for me is to always learn something new every single day. So if you do that, you will be a lot further than so many people that just went to university and did what they were told to do. And that's the other problem with university is that it's not a custom fit for a person. It's a very, like I was taking a lot of things that I didn't really use or need or appreciate because I wasn't using them in real time. Whereas the things I'm learning now and doing now, I'm using them in real time. I'll learn a concept and then use it for a paying client. So it has all the things. You learn it, it gets stuck in your brain, and you get paid for it. What better way of validating something you're learning, right? So
true.
So I, even if you are in a music university or you have went to a music university, please continue learning every day. So
that's the piece. People think, I think that sometimes people think like, oh, I will go to XYZ school. I will do exactly what they tell me. I will come out, whatever. When I went to Berkeley, I had two majors, a minor, three jobs. And but I did that because one, supporting myself, but two, like I was trying to constantly learn skills. Like I took a job at the tech shop at Berkeley because I was like, oh, being able to make, like, take apart gear and build microphones and stuff, that's going to make me valuable to someone that I want to mentor me. And that's a skill set that no one can take from me. Great. That's not something that they're trying to teach me, but I'm going to make sure that I'm learning that. It's the same thing with the, And that's.
You did exactly what I should have done. It's like what I did was like, did you go to Berkeley like right out of high school?
Yeah.
Okay. So I also did, but in a lot of ways I'm like, maybe like I wasn't like mentally ready to do something. Yeah. Like I didn't use it full potential at all. I just went to my classes, tried to get good grades. I hung out with my boyfriend at the time.
And then we're young, right? Like you're young.
Looking back, I want to like punch myself in the face because the best part about being at Berkeley is networking, right? Like,
exactly.
I was there when, like, Charlie Puth was there. I mean, we are not friends because I was at home. I mean, maybe, but I was at home with my current boyfriend. Like, if you want to go to these schools or you're at Berkeley right now, the most valuable thing you can do is, one, here and the resources that's there for you, and two, network with those people because you never know who is going to be the next Simone, you know, or who's going to be the next Charlie Puth. You know,
exactly.
Use that. The kind of books I read right now, I'm really into this book, .com Secrets by, I can't even remember, but it's basically about marketing. I try to split up my books within those four categories again, mindset, money. And so like, I'll read like a money book or like, and I just kind of shuffle them, and I like to optimize my time. So I listen to them in an audiobook while I'm doing my 10,000 steps outside. And that's kind of like the best way for me.
The best. That's so great. And it's also like, I think when we're moving and doing other things too, it also like helps things like settle in our brain.
I'm going to write down because I'm going to make like a reading list for people.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
What I'm reading. I started a book club, but it didn't really work.
Okay.
I was like, I'm gonna do a book club and then like have people meet. Maybe I'll come back to that.
Maybe I think that's cool. Like, especially like with these kind of things, like the artist's wit. Let's see. Yeah. Someone's saying yes, please. I think that especially as creatives, like it's really important. My friend recommended this book to me called The War of Art recently. And they said it's really changed a lot of the way that they approach creativity, which is great. Also, I know people were asking, they were like, is there a Q&A function? Yes, ask the questions. And I was just like, my question is, this whole thing is Q&A. Let us know. And then someone also asked if they could buy your Logic course. And yes, it's on Science page, right? Like
it's not really, it's like, it's a crash course. So it's basically 350 Logic pro tips, like basically all of my videos organized in an ebook and a video guide. So it's basically, I hate a lot of fluff. So I didn't want to watch like a 9-hour course on how to do a simple task or get all the golden nuggets. So I basically like put all of the golden nuggets in this crash course. So yes, I would love it if you guys checked it out. It's there.
Love that. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Okay, if anyone has any questions, please let us know. I think that there's like a question thing and then it sorts out into a question thing for me, or you just ask them in the chat. That's great. Yeah, we love golden nuggets. Is there something, okay, so we spoke on how you got into this side of things, how you decided to just like, you have to like make this lane for yourself. I think that people were asking, okay, how do I start? But I think that you already touched on that. And I think it's really just starting it. It's having the audacity to say, okay, no, I'm going to dedicate this time to doing this thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, like I do also, I'm very like strategic about everything I'm doing. And I'm super goal oriented. So there's like five questions that I always like try to get people to answer, which is one, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be as specific as possible, right? And typically, like, what do you want to do first? And then you work your way up. Because if you were focusing on too many things, then you ultimately fail on all the things, right? So, like, you kind of have to get, like, view it as steps or stairs. Like, okay, let me get here. And then let me get to here. And then let me get to here.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, a couple of years ago, it was to work with music tech companies, right? So, that was, what do you want to do? Work with music tech companies. Okay,
yeah.
What is your mission statement? And I really believe that this is an overlooked step, but is really, really important. Because like how you said your mission statement, like you had so many bad experiences in the studio that you made it your mission, which is your selfless commitment to your fans or clients, to make a comfortable space in a studio for people to excel.
Yeah.
And my mission statement is to make music production and music entrepreneurship more accessible to more people, because I struggled with that when I was 22 and I was paying people thousands of dollars to put tracks for me that I could have done myself.
Yes.
I didn't think I was capable, or I didn't think I could. I thought it was inaccessible. So the second part is to come up with your mission, and they can't be just like something out of the sky. It has to be something that's a true fundamental mission from your soul. Okay.
Yeah.
The third question is, who are the people that support your goal, right? Now that you know your goal, who are those people? Get to know them very well. Study them. What do they look like? What should they wear? What do they buy? What do they watch?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, what kind of content do they like to see, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you know that, that makes the whole marketing side really easy. And then that helps with the fifth question, which is how can people support you? So it all, and once you have those equations, that's when you're on a plan. Because I find a lot of people don't have a plan and they're kind of just like trying a bunch of things. Nothing is working, or something will work and they won't know how to repeat it because they don't even know why or how it worked.
Yeah.
So that's where you get like those
absolutely
one hit things, right? Those one banger. And we can't control a lot of things, but there are some things can control. And if we have a path, then it's a lot easier step by step. Yeah. It just seems like now I can see the vision of where I'm going. And so much of my life, I had no idea. Way too much.
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
Absolutely. Because I think it's really easy to get caught up in just surviving the day to day and just like keeping up, that it's really easy to not have the big picture in mind. And I think that the way that you lay that out is so important. And for people to know, and it's so eloquent. And when I was starting my career, like I made like my big goals. I didn't break it down as much as you did. That is brilliant. But I had like, okay, where do I want to be in 10 years? Okay, where does that mean that I need to be in 5 years? Okay, then 3, 2, 1. And then that's how I did my career. And now I find myself like changing seasons. Like I think that we achieve things that we want to achieve, right? And then you need to set new goals and add those things and set new steps. But I think that any goal is achievable as if we break it down. You're not, if you want a Grammy, it's not going to just like, everyone thinks that overnight success is overnight, but it's really not. Most of the time, it's like 10 years in the making.
And of course there are those people that get lucky and you base it off that. But that can't be the base, because luck doesn't always work. You know, like
I always say luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Exactly. But like for me, I'm like, oh, I'm so mad I didn't buy Bitcoin last year, this time last year. And then right. I'm like, no, no, like that person that did that, whatever. They're ultimately lucky, right? Because nobody actually had a crystal ball. Nobody actually knew. Like,
right.
And it's so easy in hindsight to be like, oh, if I stayed in that room. But, you know, I can potentially make a product or work with a company or do something that's going to make me more, exponentially more than that one Bitcoin would have done. But I now have somewhat of a control, right? And not only that,
that's true.
Still, that's more valuable than that one-off. Like, yes, there are some people that won Grammys because they got lucky and they were at the right place the right time.
Absolutely.
But the majority, no, you know?
Exactly. And I think that we, yes. Yes.
You can't use those people as an example. Like, yes, there are some people that have won the lottery and made millions of dollars. But guess what? They also might have spent it right away because
exactly.
They can't do it again. If you and I had to start at zero tomorrow, we would be able to be at the same place we are now in probably 6 months because we have the skills now.
Yeah.
The skills is the value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not the end product, the skill. Of being
absolutely. Able. Because that's the wealth. And I think that too, like people, I heard this from someone that when I was coming up, a lot of people were afraid to share their templates or like whatever. And it's, but I think that's so silly. A mentor told me one time, it's the craftsman, not the tools. So it's like, I will give away my template. Like I will show you what I do because the tools and the plugins that I'm using does not make like what I bring to the table.
100%. You can never be afraid of people copying you because if you're doing something good, people are going to copy you. So you might as well be the hero and be like, copy me because people copy me all the time.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I get so annoyed, but now I know no, because I'm always going to be coming up with the ideas. I'm always going
absolutely.
And they're like,
absolutely.
Tell me like, be a leader, not a follower. And
yes.
The people that are copying me, they're not going to get the clients that I got because those clients are like, why would I pay for that person when I can just get sides? Like I know sides
exactly.
work. No, if someone's making a video, like here's a cool Logic Pro tip, da da da, like and follow.
Yes,
guys, Apple already knows who I am. So it's like they're only hurting themselves. Like they have to take what you've learned as a model, use those templates, and then develop their own trademark.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because that's what it is. It's like we build our brand. And someone asked a question that's on the side of what you're talking about in the questions thing that I want to ask you. It said, on the music marketing side, is there any small and simple piece of info that immediately made you better at marketing your product?
Oh, yes. So marketing is like fishing, right? If you put out the right bait for the right audience, the people will come to you. Mm. So you guys can make whatever music you like, whatever thing you like, whatever product you like, and you should. You should passionately, devotedly love it because if you like your music, someone else will. Now the trick is to find those people. It's not your friends. It's not your family. It might not be the first 1,000 people you show it to. It might not be the first billion people you show it to, right? There's 8 billion people in the world. You have to find those people that will bite. And that's marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially, it's putting out the bait for the right people. Obviously, it goes a lot more in depth than that. But once I learned that and I visualized that, it made so much more sense.
That is so good. You are such like a wealth of information and it is so lovely to get to talk to you. I genuinely feel inspired because the marketing side for me is something that I'm not naturally good at. And it's something I'm trying to learn and to hear you like speak about it in these ways and like your 4 M's. I feel very like inspired by this conversation. So thank you. Dude, you should because like you are like very, very, very cool. I want to answer. Okay. I also don't want to take up too much of your time. I don't know. Are you going to look another time?
We can go till 2.
We can? Okay, great. Okay, great. Because I'm having fun. I just want to make sure you're good.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So then let me answer another question. So another question that we got is, someone asked a vocal question. They said, how to achieve a good vocal presence in the mix? Do we need good hardware gear or like compressor, et cetera? Or what is the best approach? For me, something that like once I started using saturation on my vocals, like the game changed a little bit. I love the plugin Saturn, for example. There's some presets in there that are great, like the Magic BM setting or like the 2 BM setting. Great. Like I think that people like it's very easy to think you need 10 million plugins on things, but you just have to like, it's really just understanding what each thing is doing. And saturation for me is like helping those details come out. It's bringing warmth, So yeah, you know, I'll be pretty mindful. My record bent that I just put out, I recorded it on an SM7, even though I have a beautiful tube mic next to it, you know?
I literally do the same thing.
Yeah, because I want to be able to like just sing.
Because I am like a I work insane amount of hours, like, but I'm fundamentally a lazy person. So this is right here. Like, this is literally right here.
Yeah.
So I record everything with the SM7 DB, and I have like ridiculously expensive microphones. I just, it sounds really good. It sounds good enough. I'm sorry. It just sounds good enough.
It does. And I think it just depends on what you're trying to do, right? Like, there's some things like, okay, so like bent, I'm singing, like I'm belting a lot, and I want a capsule that's going to be able to handle my belt, and dynamic microphone is going to do that. And then also, like, I started recording with in-ears now. That really helps me. Yeah. Instead of Ghostback headphones, because like I need to, first of all, I only have one on, but I just, because coming from that live background of performing, I want to be able to like be like genuinely feeling this thing. And sometimes I'll even just have the music playing out loud.
Okay, well, you've inspired me, because I have a really expensive pair of in-ears that are meant for the studio.
Yeah.
And they've just been sitting in my closet.
Oh, dude.
So I'm going to try it, and I have to find it. It'll also motivate me to organize my closet.
Okay, closet. No, it's so great. Like, and I think that, yeah, I just got it custom here too. And it's just like such a game changer for me, because it makes me feel less like, okay, here I am to do XYZ thing. Like, sometimes like expensive microphones will inspire me. Like, and then that's when I'm like, oh, I'm singing on something, and then I'm hearing detail in my voice that's different than to what I've ever heard. And so then that will make me want to do more creative things, which is really fun. But I don't like when people get too caught up on, I can't make XYZ because I don't have XYZ equipment. And that's just not it. Like, you can make so much with simple gear.
Exactly. And many of the time I choose the simpler gear.
Yeah.
The more expensive thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Also, easier to use.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about the performance too, because we can fix pitch, we can fix all these things. We can't fix performance. We can't fix if we could hear if someone's having a good time or if they're stressed out or like whatever. Like, we can't do any of anything.
I think it's like so much about like the vibe. Like, the vibe is what people stay for.
Mm-hmm. And I think that
songs that are like theoretically good, right? They're good,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we don't care about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about the human. Yeah, and I think that that's like why too, with the whole AI conversation, I'm hoping that that will prevail with the human aspect of performance, of like wanting to hear like what someone's going through, like in their vocal or like those things. Like, I think that emotion. That emotional connection that we get, like when I was growing up, I would study Etta James, because she, in every vocal that she has, you can hear exactly what she's feeling, like, and that grit, and like the way that she could express that vocally was so amazing to me. It's funny when I think about this, because I guess like from when I was younger, I was thinking about vocal production, but I just thought, oh, that's, I know this is making me feel a type of way, and I want to be able to do that. Like, how do we do that? And,
I know the AI thing is super interesting. Mm-hmm. I definitely am pro AI for a lot of reasons. One, because I think it just aligns with my mission, right? It makes music accessible to more people. So I'm never going to be anti-AI. And then the people up in the comments, whenever I post about it, is like, don't do this. You're taking away jobs. And that's like, that's just not true. Like, it's just, first of all, it's not true. Because if anything, I know, because I know behind the scenes, AI is also creating a ton.
It's creating jobs. Absolutely, it's creating jobs.
And just like how technology always has, like, it's taking away certain jobs, but it's also created new jobs, right? Like,
absolutely.
iPhone, right? But how many jobs did the iPhone create? It created all these app stores. Like, if it wasn't
that,
it had apps, right? And people were crying about that. But yes, now the BlackBerry, you lost all that job. Those people lost.
Right. That's so true.
So new job. So it's like that kind of like mindset is just a bad one in general, because technology is always going to come and you have to pivot with it. And the same thing, like, even a great AI song is still only one third of the pie. You still have to market it. You have to sell
it. Absolutely.
So just like,
yeah, it's half the hard part.
I feel like there's high tier mentalities and low tier mentalities, and low tier mentalities are mentalities that only think for them, like have a narrow way of thinking and don't big picture. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about this a lot myself, because how I've changed with a lot of my mentalities. Like, for instance, I saw this thing recently of this girl who worked at a coffee shop. She was complaining on TikTok and being like, I'm working at this coffee shop for $15 an hour, and I just sold a coffee for $15. And I've basically made this company more money than my wage in the hour. And it's just like, I used to think like that, you know?
Yeah.
But now that I have a business, and now that I understand how much money that person's, how many risks that person's
taking,
overhead that person does, how much more work that person does, and you just don't get it. So you won't get it until you're there. So I always try to think about this bigger than yourself, like bigger than you, and you will see how that point is wrong. And I've had to do a lot of that thinking myself. Like, I have to always try to think from the other perspective. That's a hard thing to try to teach people.
yeah absolutely. And it's also just it's the abundance mindset versus the scarcity mindset.
Literally.
And it really is so true. It's so interesting. Like, when we walk in that as well, like when we make those decisions for ourselves and we do that work and we walk in that, things start to happen. And I maybe that's a little frou-frou, but that's definitely how my life has been, for sure. When I'm like, okay, I decide that there is more for me, instead of living in the dwelling in whatever that is.
And it's like, also it's like, if you're the type of person that hates making other people money, which I am, I'm that type of person, then you got to learn how to be the entrepreneur. You got to, you know what I mean? Like, you make a lot, and you know this, like, you're going to make a lot more money as an engineer when you're booking all your own clients, booking the studios, than working for a studio. You're just going.
Absolutely. So, and I think that it's really scary. Like, when I was in college, when I was in my career, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like, when I was younger, I was like, that seems like so much. I don't want to do XYZ thing, but that is what we do. And once I truly set out on my own, so much more has happened. I've made more money, way more money. Like, you know, like, not just that that's like a thing. It's like, things, we're afraid, but once you commit and you do it and you like believe in yourself, you step out into that, it'll take time to build. But if you take that time to build it, it's, I don't know, it can be good.
So if you don't like making your boss money, then you need to make your own, you need to be the boss and you need to go through it. And then you'll understand your thought. It's kind of like when my mom was like, you won't understand until you're a mom, which I'm not ever going to become. But you know what I mean? Like, you kind of get it now when you grow up, you know, you're like, oh, okay, there's all this other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I saw some people ask about I would wish, I really want to be able to engineer full time. But I think that that's exactly what you were talking about. It's okay. That's my goal. How do I then get there? I need to make sure that I'm not just technically very good, you also have to like work on yourself, because we're creating music. And I think at the beginning of my career, I didn't realize that there was so much value in just the human that you are and how you make people feel, because that will get you further in your career than you think. Like, you just have to be like a good hang.
I saw somebody who's a songwriter that went to a producer's house, and he made like a story being like, producers, FYI, if you have people coming to your house, like, here are some things that like you should probably do. Like, make sure your bathroom is clean. Make sure there's like, and then it's like, it's so funny to me because you don't think about those things, but it's also like, people are coming, like if they go into a bathroom during their break and they don't feel comfortable, that's going to relate. And the time time is money, right? And like, time is valuable. Like, my time now is like $300 an hour, and that might be a lot to some people, but to other people, that's like a pitiful number, you know. But anyways, time is money, you know. So it's like, really have to like think about like, how do we make our people comfortable in the short amount of time?
Absolutely. And it's those little things. Like, when I was starting my career, when I was engineering, the first album that I was an engineer on for the whole project was Jessie J's Rose album. And it was pretty soon out of Berkeley. And it was like so amazing. But I remember the thing that I could do there was all I could really do was just try to pay attention. So like I noticed some of the time that she came in heels, but wanted to sing like not in heels because she wants to feel grounded. Right. So like I got her a pair of socks and I brought that to the session next time. You know, it's like little things, maybe something like her favorite candy is in the room or like not candy, like, you know, stuff like that, that it's just the human stuff, like making sure that it smells good in the room. Like now when I go into sessions, if I walk into a studio and I'm vocal producing or engineering, really either one, if I walk in and it feels stuffy, the vibe is weird, like whatever, I'm going to be like, no, I want to hang some lights. I want to like do X, Y, Z things, because you feel creative when you walk into an environment that feels like it's catered to you. You know, like that care is there. And that's when we make our best things. And I'm very not about the school of vocal production that's negative of like, do it again, do it again, do it again. We make our best things when we like are feel safe.
Yes.
And like going back to
is never a thriving environment. Never.
Yeah.
And if you think that way and behave that way, you really need to start reassessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's
like, and I get it. I used to have a band leader who's the nicest guy on earth, but on the bandstand, he could not control his anger. And he would literally curse people out on the bandstand. And then afterwards, great gig, you know, and they're all like, wait, I thought I was fired. Right. Literally like cursed me out on the band. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
just his way of handling stress. And if you are like that, like sort that shit out like ASAP. Like,
yeah.
It is never appropriate or good to yell at someone. I never raise my voice to anyone ever. That's just not a great response system at all. Like you can talk to people and make people maybe even feel worse by by just talking to them like a human. And like you don't obviously want to make people feel worse. You have to like do a compliment sandwich. And this is something that I
absolutely
love too, because you have to, I'm a very direct person. So I forget like, okay, let me add this little I'll literally be like, oh, I don't like that. And then the person will be crying in the corner. And I'm like, what did I do?
No, 100%. It's so funny because vocal production, like I'm very good at that. In my other business life, I have to very much work on that because I'm very direct. And I'm like,
for us, we know how valuable our time is. We don't want to take that extra step. But that's when you're like, okay, let me take the extra moment to be like, you did all these things well. I'm just not a coddler. So I've had to train myself. But we are
doing right now.
If you're a producer, you have to train. You can train yourself to make your people more comfortable, and it's so important.
Absolutely, dude. This is so good. Guys, we have like 7 minutes left. If you have questions, music production, life, business, like your shoes. That's so funny. Oh gosh. Oh man. Yeah. If you have questions, music production, business, whatever, that would be. Yeah, sometimes that I feel like I push people away when I'm so direct. And I think that that's, it's just in delivery. It's like, it's the same thing how in vocal production, I could say, I'm not going to say you're flat. I'm going to say, okay, this time, like that sounds so great. I'll be like, okay, I want you to like think about lifting the phrase, like as you're going, blah, 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 like, and like smile into it, and blah, 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 and everything is cheering on. So it's just finding the same way to think, say different.
Yeah. Or like find something that you liked. Like if that one note was flat, just be like, oh, I loved how you said the, but let's try, like you were a little flat in this one note. It's okay to, you know, be direct, but like it, for me, the compliment sandwich helps a lot. Like think about it. If I'm like, I don't like your shirt. That comes off one way. But if I'm just like, oh my gosh, your hair looks so good. I love your hair.
Yeah.
Sure, it's not for me, but if you like it, you know, if that made sense, right? Like if I was your
You like it.
You were a stylist. Nobody. Would it be appropriate if you were like if in the right context?
Yeah. If you're a stylist. Okay, yeah.
Saying like a compliment sandwich, which is obviously
Yeah. But it's so true. I think that's what the person above was trying to say before, and when I started reading it I was like, what did they say? But I now I understand, like the with the like your shoes thing. Okay, so we got a few questions in. I don't know if you see any that you want to answer. You can go ahead. But they're just in the comments. People have like
my last comment I saw was, yes, my Logic Pro tips is at www.sides.co.
Oh, okay. I will say that.
Thanks.
Got it. There's questions. So
talking bad about me, I wouldn't even know. So keep going.
Okay. It's funny because like a lot of these questions genuinely are about marketing. So we already like spoke, I know, like about some marketing things. This one said marketing, where's a good place to start? A lot of my work comes from the word of mouth. I'm trying to meet new people and expand.
Social media. Yeah. Best place, because all you have to invest is your time. I mean, there's really like four big marketing areas for musicians and a lot of things in general is social media, which I like the best because all you have to do is invest your time. Two, there's outreach, which is spamming. Spamming does work, believe it or not. It does work. If you do it correctly, there is a skill towards that. You just will get a lot of rejection. I do not handle rejection well, so I don't like spamming. Third one is like networking, which it sounds like this person is still is doing. That's where you get the calls. You're going to the events, you're going to the NAMs, you're going to, you know, the think conferences, whatever it is you're trying to do. That's, and then the fourth way is paid ads. You can, I know people that are very, very good at funnels, even with like getting fans. I just had a meeting with someone who wants to get better with their social media. So I was helping them with that. But they're a full-time musician that have sold 1,000 CDs to women like over 50 because they use like ClickFunnels and they use they have really good ads and really good. And I've met other producers that have built their business all from paid ads. That one you obviously need an investment to do that. Some people have it, some people don't. I don't like that because I had already been in the red for two other things. Like I was, you know, with my girl. Funny, so I was like, not this time, Satan. I'm not spending any money, only my time. But I did, you know, will I ever, I haven't done any paid ads yet. Would I ever go down that road? I don't want to write it off because if you, you ad and you understand the funnels and you understand how to do it, for every $1 you spend, you should be making four. So if you multiply that and you really understand that route, that's a separate way. And there's like other ways of marketing, right? There's the marketing, all of that bit, but focus on, pick one of those or a couple areas of those to focus on. Shameless plug, I also have a social media class on my are interested. It's like specifically for musicians. Go into that. So yeah, I mean, And then there's also a bunch of different books you can read if you are interested in just like general marketing stuff. I do think like learning marketing and learning sales is going to help your sales is a whole different conversation, but like identifying objections and overcoming obstacles and listening and pain point, that's going to change, be able to help you a lot of people. So marketing is getting people. Then there's the selling part. And then also you have to be good at whatever you're doing, right?
Absolutely.
If you can do all three of those things and understand how to do all three of those things pretty well, you will you will for sure have at minimum a six-figure business. Maybe a seven-figure. I don't have yet, but that's what I'm working towards.
Listen, absolutely. And it's and it just makes sense. I think that it's so much easier to look at something in that way as well. Okay, here are tangible steps that I can work towards achieving that are more digestible instead of just I want to do this one thing without a plan. You have to have the plan. And I think that marketing for a lot of musicians, me included, for a long time just felt like this big thing that we had to do, but I don't know how to do it. And it's like, it just feels like this eager. My
perception is that marketing is not creative, and that's totally false. Like marketing and sales can be just as creative, tapping into just your left brain just as much as writing a new song, as mixing a track. So you can make whatever kind of content you want to make that you enjoy making. Just like you can make fashion out of anything. Like you can make fashion out of trash bags or fashion out of, you know, like you can make content out of anything. You just have to learn and then make content you like. I didn't enjoy making singing content. That's not fun for me. I don't care. I don't want to do it. I don't want to outriff. That wasn't fun for me, but I did enjoy geeking out about Logic Pro Tips. I do enjoy that. I like making that content. That content
is great.
Showing up for that. So make stuff you like.
No, that's Yes, absolutely. Yes. And we're going to do, we when we care about something, it shows. And I think that people can also see that and feel that. And then that's also a drawing in. Before I let you go, can you say your four M's again for people? Guys, she's yes.
I'm also going to make a post about this today because I just, but basically how I split up my day so I make sure I'm still creative and I balance marketing, money, everything is my four M's. And this is how I try to spend, or I do spend 90 minutes in each of these, minimum 90 minutes. So it's mindset. And that's where the eating well comes in, the exercise comes in, the walking, the learning, the reading, that's in mindset. So that's 90 minutes a day. The second part is music. 90 minutes of music, being creative, a minimum, right? You can spend more, but minimum 90 minutes of music. The third part is marketing. 90 minutes of marketing. That's where you're developing social media. Maybe you're responding to DMs. Maybe you're coming up with content. Maybe you're editing videos. You're making a YouTube video, whatever. Marketing, 90 minutes a day, minimum. And then the last one is money. 90 minutes of money. This is where you're responding to emails, doing work for clients, whatever. Your outreach, your whatever. That's with your money part. So 90 minutes, each of those, every single day, a minimum. That's the four M's.
Thank you so much for doing this with us. This has been so awesome and helpful and inspiring. And I feel like I learned a lot. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your time and your energy and your expertise. And it's so lovely.